I'm Michelle Martin, and this is Tell Me More from NPR News. Just ahead, Back Talk, where we hear what's on your mind. But first, it's time for our weekly visit to the barbershop, where the guys talk about what's in the news and whatever's on their minds. Sitting in the chairs for a shape-up this week are freelance writer and reporter Jimmy Israel, sports writer Terrence Harris, syndicated columnist Ruben Navarrete, and online reporter George Kelly. A lot to talk about. I may jump in now and again, but for now, take it away, Jimmy.
Hey, 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 fellas, welcome to the shop. How you living?
Hey, hey.
Chilling, man. How's it going?
What's going on?
All right, well, check this out. You talk about scary. Now, confirmation for Acting Assistant Secretary of Homeland Security for Immigration and Customs Enforcement, Julie Myers, may be in question after reports she judged the Halloween costume contest where one of the winners wore a blackface, a dreadlock wig, and a prison jumper. Now, reportedly, she praised the contestant for his originality. Ruben, the R, how troubling is this?
Very troubling, and for two reasons, really. The first one was, as you mentioned, you got to understand this was not just a case of somebody showing up to a Halloween party in a very distasteful, racist costume, but actually when they went further and actually had a judging contest and they actually awarded him a prize for originality, that got even worse because it suggested that the supervisors knew about this, they actually approved of it. And they didn't think it was a problem until there was an outcry. Secondly, when this finally hit the fan, their spokesperson came out and said something really dumb like, you know, we couldn't even tell if this guy was wearing makeup because normally his face is so dark. So you had the scandal initially, and then you had a really bad reaction. This is really bad news for ICE.
So, Terry, what do you think about this?
Man, you know what this says? I mean, it just says that, you know, there's a lack of diversity there. I mean, because if there was an African-American person in the room, they would have immediately been able to say, hey, there's a problem here. I mean, and this isn't funny. This isn't original. This is offensive.
Wow. Well, it's so funny you mentioned that, George. In the era where we're seeing all these blackface, and we had blackface Jesus last year, and now we got nooses, we got M-bobs just flying out of the air. You know, is this a pushback to diversity or just clean hipster fun?
It's not clean hipster fun. It's just a lack of thinking. This is a situation where I don't think there necessarily needs to be black faces at the top. I'll settle for smart white faces. This is a law enforcement agency with more than 15,000 employees, second largest investigative agency in the federal government. There really needs to be some intelligence.
Can I just add one thing, guys? I will say that the head of Homeland Security, Michael Chertoff, went out publicly and said this was a bad idea. He said that, you know, the people in question had apologized. He made it very clear in a public statement that this was just not acceptable behavior. Just thought I'd throw that in. He's the head of the agency in which ICE is a division. I just thought I'd ask, does that help at all?
Ruben?
Well, now people are looking to Chertoff to see if he's going to punish Julie Myers. A little bit of background here. Julie Myers is the niece of retired General Richard Myers, who was the former chairman of the Joint Chiefs of Staff. She's also married to somebody who's very well connected, who used to be the chief of staff for Michael Chertoff. So if Chertoff were to reprimand Myers for this, it would hit pretty close to home for all concerned.
Terry, what should he do?
I think the heads need to roll in this situation because you have to be smarter. Clearly, Myers, she wasn't offended by this because it did not affect her or her background. And we're all guilty of that to some degree. If it had been a Latino joke or something like that, I may have been in the room and not been offended and may not have recognized that this was a problem immediately as well.
Right.
It's a societal thing that we all have to deal with.
Jimmy, I think there is something going on here that you're talking about, and it came up when the Dog Chapman stuff started happening, and you said the N-word was flying and all this stuff. There's a lot of folks who think that Chapman and Imus got a bad rap because they are just tired. Every time they hear you or me or somebody else spout off with a word like racism, they dig in and they fight you on it. They don't want to admit that there's any racism anywhere. I think there is a sense that maybe for this generation of folks, they are tired of being raked over the guilt coals. They don't want to play that game anymore.
Speaking of the dog, Dwayne Dog Chapman, he was on CNN's Larry King Wednesday night talking about his use of the N-word in reference to his son's girlfriend. Now, he says he thought he was cool enough to use the word. Michelle.
Do you guys want to hear a short clip?
Please drop that.
Yeah. Okay, here you go.
I'm still alive.
Other than that?
Not very good. I've been here several times sitting in front of you. Tonight I felt like I was coming to the electric chair.
Really?
I'm sorry to tell you personally. First of all, I'm very sorry. I know you had also a lot of faith in me. I'm very sorry for using that word. please don't think any less of me, and I'm going to fix it.
So you can hear the voice breaking there, a very emotional appearance from Mr. Dog Chapman. His son was also there, and there were some tears flowing at various points. I don't know if you guys saw the whole thing, but anyway, back to you.
Yeah, it was a real Oprah moment. Thank you for that, Michelle. Terry, once and for all, tell us, you're the man, T. Harris, who's cool enough to use the N-word?
Only black people are. I mean, I'm sorry. I mean, you know, if it's used, you can use it within the community. But I'm going to go out here. I'm about to jump out here and say something else, though. I think that this was
clutch
wrong.
The pearls.
And that I don't blame Dwayne. Dwayne, this was a private conversation, you know, held in his house over the telephone with his son. This should not be made public. This was a private conversation. So I'm not upset with him about this.
Wow. I'm with that.
I hear that.
I'm not upset with him on this one. I'm sorry. I mean, you know, me and my friends, me and my family, we may say a lot of things. I mean, and I may say a lot of things to them that I don't want publicly put out there. This was just wrong. I mean, how it was gathered is just wrong.
I hear that.
Ruben?
I mean, put yourself in their shoes and think about conversations you may have had in-house with your family members about, you name it, about gay people, about Mexicans, about immigrants, about whoever.
Right.
And whether or not you would feel comfortable if that were aired out. But when something like this happens, people jump on this as sort of their definition of racism. And I prefer a conversation about racism at the margins, where the next time we're having a conversation about affirmative action and about efforts to repeal it, I don't want to hear a bunch of liberals saying, yeah, maybe we should do away with that because I want my kid to get into Berkeley and I'm afraid some black kid's going to take his spot. And then I'll say, well, that's racist. And they'll say, no. The only thing that's racist is Dog Chapman using the N-word. So, right. You know, when people come forward like this and they sort of jump on an N-word situation like this, I get suspicious because those are the easy questions. We should be having a conversation about racism at the margins and some of those gray areas.
George, what about that?
Conversations at the margins can be useful. We do have to see about developing a lower threshold for getting excited and getting mad. We have to deal with these differences in opinion more rationally and thoughtfully. What caught me about what this guy had to say was the idea that he wanted to speak to his son in a way that would be shocking to his son and that would get across the extent of his displeasure. The use of the word was very much about power. And that's the point, that's the stigma that people want to get out of the way, the idea that the word is used to denigrate and to insult and to call someone out as being weaker or lesser than.
Well, yeah, I saw him on Wednesday, and I was impressed by his contrition, but I'm wondering, is he sorry or is he just sorry he got caught out there? Is he sorry? Is he gonna... Go ahead, Terry.
He's sorry he got caught. I mean, that was obvious. I mean, it was almost comedy, too. I mean... You know, this guy, his publicist is great, though. I mean, whoever, you know, prepped him for Larry King last night, I mean, a lot of people need to check in with that guy. But what killed me is when he said he graduated from seventh grade. I mean, I was like, graduated from seventh grade? When does that happen, you know?
Right, well, they teach racial sensitivity in the eighth grade, so he didn't get there, I guess. But I haven't had a moment like this since. I have not had a moment like this since Jimmy Swagger got caught with a prostitute and then came forward and cried and said, I have sinned before thee. Help me.
You know,
forgive me.
Right, yeah, and there are pieces of that here. I mean, because what I liked about Dog is that he didn't try to give us like a KKK Kramer moment when he's like going on some Zen search for wherever this comment came from. I mean, he copped to it. He said, you know what, this is from where I'm from. This is how I get down. And you know what, I messed up, and please forgive me. You know what, Dog, as far as I'm concerned, apology accepted.
If you're just joining us, it's our weekly visit to the barbershop. You're listening to Jimmy Israel, Ruben Navarrete, Terrence Harris, and George Kelly. Jimmy?
All right. Well, check this out. You know, Pennsylvania has authorized a new pseudo-hip-hop recruitment video where they got a rapping groundhog who extols the virtues of a career in healthcare.
Would you guys like to hear a little bit of that clip of the recruiting healthcare PSA, the G-Hog, the groundhog? Let's hear it.
Eminem, drop it.
I eat trash on highways and practice hibernation. I think you should give health careers some consideration. So check this website out before you're done with school. Health careers help people, and helping people's cool.
Go
G-Hog.
Oh, boy.
I'm
doing a running man right now.
I don't even know where to go with that. I mean, wait. Anyway, I'm sorry. Back to you guys.
Michelle, thanks so much for that. Ruben, I know this offends your hip-hop sensibilities, bro. Such as they are.
Such as they are. I guess my standard's a little low in that regard. You know, I just kind of general silliness. Is it meant as a parody? I'm not sure.
No, it's not meant to be a parody. It's a recruiting. Are you persuaded?
I was afraid you were going to say that.
Do you want to go be a phlebotomist because of it? Does it make you want to go into nursing?
There should just be rules about not appropriating somebody else's lingo in a way that is cheesy and disrespectful, but... I kind of feel the same way every time somebody takes Spanish and butchers it into little pieces. You know?
Like when?
Like when people run for president and start speaking Spanish on the stump. You know?
Ouch, ouch.
Sometimes they speak it well and sometimes, oh, not so bueno.
You know what?
I'm like, I mean, just chill out. I have two chimichangas and call me in the morning. Don't call, don't, you know, don't hit me with that.
Michelle brings up a great point. Terry, is this ad too cheesy to be effective?
Yeah, my problem with it was, man, is they used an out-of-date beat. I mean, that beat was like from the early 90s. First of all, that's the thing that just killed me. But then I'm sitting there looking, I'm watching the video. Because, see, just listening to it don't really get it for you. You have to see this G-Hog. You have to see the dancers. I'm like, where do these people come from? Where do they get these people who would degrade themselves like this? Come on now, but I mean the beat just killed me, guys. I mean, that's,
yeah, I hear you.
You know that's Kool Moe Dee right there, Dave.
It was more Bell Biv DeVoe, bro.
Where do you get people who degrade themselves? Oh, I don't know, maybe BET and Univision.
Ooh. Ooh. Hold on.
I guess you got to see the video to really get the full effect, and it's the chain that got me—the big heavy chain with the medallion in the shape of the state of Pennsylvania. I'm sorry,
and the headbands.
Why do you
the
have
dancers?
To have a the big chain.
But they had governor in it, though. That's the other thing that just knocked my socks off right there.
But, George, doesn't it have the ingredients to be a viral video?
It has the ingredients. It just was really launched poorly. The annoying thing for me is that I think healthcare is just too serious an issue to be spending $5,000 on, you know, goofing off.
George, you know what it actually is? It's just another sign of the apocalypse. And with that, bro, we gotta call it a wrap. Fellas, thanks so much. I got to kick it back over to the lady of the house, Eminem, Michelle Martin.
I guess I just don't need a big furry rodent to encourage me on my career aspirations. I guess that's kind of the problem with it. I don't know. Maybe it's me. I don't know why. Big furry rodent come to career day and tell you what to be. But anyway, thanks, guys. Jimmy Israel joined us from the Public Radio Partnership in Louisville, Kentucky. He's a freelance writer and reporter. Ruben Navarrete writes for the San Diego Union-Tribune and CNN.com. He joined us from member station KPBS in San Diego. Terrence Harris is a sports writer for the Houston Chronicle. He joined us from member station KUHF in Houston. And George Kelly is a blogger and online reporter with the Contra Costa Times. He spoke with us from the Sports Byline Studios in San Francisco. You can find links to all of our barbershop guests at our website, npr.org/tellmemore. Gentlemen, thanks so much for joining us today.
You bet. Hey.
Thank you.
Anytime.